Chapter 9 When You're Dating the Wrong Person, How to Get Out of a Relationship. A group of 8 single men and women were sitting at a table in a restaurant. They seemed to be having some kind of a celebration. But there was something different about it. They were all there to celebrate the end of a relationship. Each had been involved in a dating relationship without a future. Every man and woman in the group had found the courage to take that decisive step of calling it quits, and they were ready to move on in their lives. Listen to some of their stories. Linda, I don't know why I hung on so long. I knew the second month of the relationship that it wasn't going to work. Oh, I know I'm a fixer. I thought I could fix Ted, but how can you fix something when they don't even know that something's broken? It just seemed to go on and on. He seemed content, but I sure wasn't. I wished I'd pulled the plug earlier. Maybe I was just comfortable having someone around. Phil, Ted was better than nothing, but it's when I realized that nothing was better than Ted that was motivated to do something. Now I can move on with my life. Breaking off a relationship is no picnic. I think I heard as much as she must. That's what kept me connected to her for so long. I didn't want to hurt her. I tried several times, but I couldn't stand it when she cried. I felt so rotten. We both knew there were too many obstacles, but we kept trying. She loved me so much. She told me I'd never find a woman who would love me as much as she did. She's probably right, but I didn't want to spend the rest of my life with her. I didn't love her. At least not in the same way she loved me. It just wouldn't work. It's been 2 weeks now and my sense of relief is now stronger than my hurt. The longer we went together, the more he moved into my life. He was nice and kind at first, but then he became so possessive. He wanted to dominate all the time. I couldn't go anywhere without Bill wanting to be there. He gave me so much and seemed to adore me. But his possessiveness scared me. He didn't want me involved with my friends anymore and they're all turned off toward him. He started checking up on me and asking me where I've been, who I've talked to, who's called on the phone. He tells me things that scare me, too, like, I can't live without you, and, you're my whole life and source of existence. I was always wondering what he would do if he broke up. Well, I've found out. I had to tell him in person. Tina, he wouldn't listen. He'd ignore whatever I said and come back with, you don't mean it. You're just upset, right? And that really made me mad. I won't even talk to him now or even acknowledge him when he comes around. I hate to be rude, but what do you do when they don't believe you? I feel like I'm being stalked by Bill. He's out of my life as far as the relationship goes, but he's still interfering with my life. Reasons for hanging on: you've probably been there, involved in a relationship that is dead, and you're looking for a parachute so you can bail out and escape. But along with relief, breaking up brings with it a whole jumble of other feelings as well. I don't think it's ever easy to break up a relationship, even when it's the best step for you. It takes two people to make a relationship work, and you might think it takes just one to break it off. But it doesn't. It takes both. The other person has to accept the fact that it is over, or they can make your life miserable. Many people struggle with this decision. One of the major dilemmas singles make is not knowing when and how to say no to a relationship. When the possibilities for dating someone else are slim, you may feel an additional pressure to stay in a relationship. The person may not be that wonderful, but it sure beats being alone. What keeps you from ending a relationship that you don't want or isn't healthy for you? Often you get hooked into the other person's feelings. Most of us don't want to cause another person pain. Even if breaking up is the healthiest decision for both of you, your partner will be hurt. If they are very sensitive or dependent, it will be more intense. If they tend to be an obsessive lover, it will be even worse. They will hang on like superglue and pursue you in a multitude of ways. Another reason for the struggle over breaking up is the power of sexual pleasures when you've been involved in this way. You know it's best to sever the relationship, but your mind wanders back to the times of intense pleasure and you begin to listen to your hormones. and sometimes it overwhelms your best intentions. You say, well, just one more time. And each time can intensify your guilt as well. If your partner is highly seductive and discovers they can use this to keep you trapped, you will be controlled in more ways than you realize. And if sex is part of your relationships, you might stay with the person who is safe rather than run the risk of struggling to find a new relationship in which a sexually transmitted disease might be in the offing, including AIDS. You may stay in a poor relationship because you're addicted to security. As bad as a relationship might be, people feel safer staying in a relationship they know something about rather than risking one that's unknown and scary. The tension or ambivalence that a person feels when attempting to break off a relationship can be very intense for some. A 30-year-old woman described the combination roller coaster bumper car ride she felt she was on as she struggled through the termination of a relationship. "I thought I was going a bit crazy myself. My feelings were in turmoil. One minute I seemed to delight in Terry, but then I felt controlled and oppressed by him. One minute I loved him, but the next I resented him and what he did. Oh, he was attentive, that's for sure, but he didn't know when to stop. I felt invaded by him like an intruding army. And now, when I try to break it off, I feel guilty. What's wrong with me?" It almost sounded like she wanted in and out of the relationship at the same time, and that will confuse anyone. Sometimes you can be addicted to a person even when you want him or her out of your life. There is such a need filled by a person that anyone will do. Many women hang on to unhealthy relationships. They're hoping that somehow the man will magically change and become Prince Charming. But as one radio personality said, when you kiss a toad, they don't turn into a prince, you just get slime in your mouth. Think of it in this way: if you're struggling to get out of a relationship, but remaining, you are more concerned with getting your short-term needs met than your long-range goals such as marriage. The longer you put off the inevitable, the more you shortchange yourself. You are hurting yourself more than the other person. Jean shared with me another reason many people hesitate in breaking up. "Norm, I know what I want in a relationship. I thought it through carefully and I have my list, but I'm just not sure I'd 11 be able to find what I want. I've got to compromise, I guess, but it is very uncomfortable. Some days I feel it's best to get out and then I think I'd 11 never find her anyway, so I just make do. Making do doesn't last a lifetime. I see a number of singles staying in a relationship because they think they're in love. The kind of love they are experiencing, however, is corning from defeats from the past or because of mistaking a physical entanglement for love. Some people live their life on the phrase, but I love him or booty love her. Basing a decision for life on fickle, misleading feelings is one way to keep yourself in pain. I've heard both men and women say, I just love that person. Oh, I know they're, but. The words I've heard them use to describe their partner ranged anywhere from cold, angry, raging, and controlling to uncommunicative, distant, abusive, and violent. The descriptive statement is made and followed up with the words, but I love him or her. Remember, the words, I love him or her, don't erase the descriptive words that were used before. In fact, aside from a radical upheaval in that person's life, or some intense therapy, there won't be any erasure of that description. Jim spoke in his ministry to the divorce describes the dilemma this way: sometimes you've been in a relationship for such a long time you struggle with wanting to break up versus look at all the time and effort we've put into this. Perhaps we can overcome these difficulties. Or you may be getting pressure from your family and friends. They keep saying, come on. How long is it going to take? You know you're right for one another. You've just got the typical jitters that anyone has. Go on, tie the knot, and you begin to think, well, if they think we're right for each other, maybe there's something that I'm missing. But pressure like this you don't need. You must be certain. Letting someone else make a decision for you won't work since they don't have to live with the decision, you do. He then goes on to describe several different ways people attempt to rescue others, which leads to immense struggles in attempting to break up a relationship so it doesn't lead to marriage. Years ago I was working with a couple in premarital counseling who had been going together for 5 years, but it wasn't working out because of numerous differences and problems. I finally suggested that they put the relationship and pending marriage on hold and work on their own individual issues. The response I heard was, "Finally, someone has given us permission not to marry. We've been getting all this pressure from everyone to go ahead and tie the knot." The sigh of relief I heard from them is a sigh that many experience when they make this decision. Over a period of time, families of the couple may have developed a close friendship and socialized together. The breakup then is not just of the couple, but could be of the friendship. And that, too, can create undue pressure upon the couple. Emotional and financial rescue. Emotional rescue involves you in trying to make the other person's pain go away. You hear another person's painful story of a broken relationship or tragic divorce and you jump in feet first to rescue them. But too often the intensity of their leaning on you in their state of vulnerability is overwhelming. Or then again, some people enjoy having others lean all over them. But it only leads to a sick relationship. A relationship rescuer finds a new person before they're ready for each other. They have to have a relationship, regardless of who it is. I see many of these couples simply living together. Each has a need for a person and a body. They know it's not going anywhere, but they have the comforts of home. Often they don't think of breaking it off unless they've got their eye on someone else so they can avoid the empty transition time. I've seen single mothers become enmeshed in a relationship because they are being rescued financially by the men in their lives. Divorced mothers have a difficult time with their reduced standard of living. It's hard to resist financial aid, but usually there are strings attached. How do you break off a relationship when you know you'll lose several hundred dollars of support each month? And yet this is no one with whom you would want to spend the rest of your life. When is a relationship over? If you're ambivalent about your relationship or struggling with trying to break it off, perhaps it would help to make a list of the 8 to 10 consequences of staying with the person. Perhaps seeing the consequences on paper will jar you into action. At the same time, make a list of what you are getting from this relationship that is 1. Healthy for you, 2. Improving your Christian walk and testimony, and 3. Causing you to go downhill anyway. Is this the best for you, or could you do better? Where is God's will in all of this? What is He saying to you? Here are some other questions to consider. 1. What is your partner not being or doing that you want? 2. How long have you been thinking about ending the relationship? 3. What would have to happen for you to feel this might work out? 4. How often have you brought up the issues and concerns to your partner? What has happened since then? 5. Are you in a situation in which your partner is willing to do anything, but that doesn't matter to you anymore? 6. What does this person do for you when you're with him or her? 7. Does their attitude and behavior toward you increase your positive feelings about yourself? 8. Do you feel more attractive being with them? 9. Do they encourage your strengths or elaborate on your weaknesses? 10. Are you a better person by being with them? Is the other person trustworthy? 11. Do you constantly make excuses for them? Do you or the other person constantly try to change one another? 12. Is your relationship with Jesus Christ enhanced by being with them? A woman shared with me, "It's so hard because I don't hate him. He really is a nice person, but he's just not for me. It would be so much easier if he were a rat and I could despise him, but I don't." You don't have to hate or even dislike a person in order to break up. If the relationship isn't beneficial for you, then it's not for the other person, regardless of what they say. Did you ever think about that? You can also end a relationship when you care about the other person, but you know it just won't work for the two of you. Even if you give your partner a list of 8 things to change and they do all 8, it's being done for you. Unless they want to change because they see the value, what makes you think the changes will last? I've heard people say, "If the relationship was meant to be over, then I wouldn't doubt my decision, would I?" I seem to waver back and forth, back and forth. This is normal. Don't let that stop you. A relationship is over and needs to be cut off when 1. you want out more than you want in. This doesn't have to be a mutual decision. 2. Both of you want out and you don't want to work on the issues. Sometimes a couple will say, we'll still see each other though as friends since we enjoy each other's company. Why? That's just keeping you from investing time and energy in recovering and then finding someone who could be your life partner. Perhaps the reason you want out of the relationship is that it seems unfair to you. Your partner may have changed their expectations for you, or they may be threatened by you for some reason and try to sabotage your efforts to grow and develop. You could be the one contributing more to the relationship than your partner, but he or she seems satisfied with their level of giving. Do you threaten your partner in some way, or are you threatened by them for some reason? These signs are danger signals. Perhaps you feel you are giving too much. But is your partner asking you to give in that way, or are you choosing to do it for some reason? Sometimes the other person is self-centered or a taker, or it could be you are giving in order to prove your love and desirability or to hang on to their love. And that could be one of the reasons that you have difficulty breaking off the relationship. Breaking off an engagement, perhaps one of the most difficult relationships to break off is an engagement. It's as though when you became engaged you've made a public announcement to the world, I'm going to marry this person. They're so wonderful. I'm thrilled. Then, what does it say when you become unengaged? I made a mistake. They're not wonderful. Something is drastically wrong. I don't love him, her. They don't love me. Perhaps that is what keeps some people from taking this step. So instead, they end up in a difficult marriage or even a divorce. But as painful as a broken engagement is, it is nowhere as devastating as a divorce can be. Over the years I've heard many people say, I knew during the first year that I'd made a mistake, or, it was the second week of the honeymoon that I knew I should have listened to those warning signals inside of my head. Perhaps the most drastic one came from a young man who was divorcing his wife. He said he knew as soon as he married her that he had made a mistake. And when asked, how soon did you know? He said, when I saw her walking down the aisle. How tragic. Unfortunately, many people still believe that an engagement has the same level of commitment that a marriage is supposed to have. It doesn't. Approximately 40 to 50% of engagements in our country break up. Over the past 5 years, of all the couples that I have seen in premarital counseling, 30 to 35% decided not to marry, and some at the last minute. In all but two of the cases, the couple made the decision themselves without my having to recommend this step. A friend of mine shared with me that 80% of the couples he works with in premarital counseling make a decision not to marry. Over the years I've seen couples who have canceled the wedding just a week or two prior to the wedding. One woman in her 20s realized that she didn't fully love the quality young man to whom she was engaged. She had hoped that after being married she would fall in love with him. 2 weeks prior to the wedding, which would have been a very large and elaborate service and reception, she told her father, "Dad, I have some bad news for you. I'm sorry, because it's going to cost you a lot of money for nothing, but I just don't love my spouse. It would be wrong to go through with this wedding." Her father responded, "Honey, don't be concerned about the money. I'm more concerned about you and your happiness. Whatever you feel is best, I'll back you." And the wedding was cancelled. 2 years later, she met the man who was to become her husband. Her act took courage. It was disappointing and painful to many people, but some of the wisest decisions of life are. You can expect even more pressure from other people when you break an engagement than when you break a long-term relationship. You might wish you could go into seclusion to escape the embarrassment and all of the questions or even genuine offers of concern. But whenever any relationship is broken, whether it be long-term or an engagement, it may be better to take charge of it by malting a statement. This will help put yourself and everyone else at ease. One of the best ways I've seen this happen is by formulating a letter to give to the significant people in your life, stating what has happened, how it's impacted you, and the best way for them to respond to you. People have been doing this for years when they experience a breakup, the death of a close loved one, a divorce, or even having a disabled person in the family. A letter could read like this: "Dear, because you are a significant person in my life, I wanted to share with you a recent event in my life that will probably affect me for some time. As you know, and I have been dating exclusively for the past 3 years. It appeared to us and to many others that we were on our way to marriage, but that doesn't seem to be the case. I have decided that it would be best after all this time to dissolve our relationship and each of us move on with our lives. There are reasons for this, and after much thought, discussion, and prayer, we feel this is the best step to take. I'm sorry for the disappointment this may cause you, as well as any feelings of awkwardness you experience, since many of you are friends of both and me. For some of you, this will mean a loss of doing things with us as a couple as we have done in the past. So it will take some adjustment on your part, as it will on ours. You may be wondering how to respond to me at this time and what to talk about and what not to say. Actually, you could feel free to respond to me as you have in the past. I can handle references about and me. It's not something you have to avoid. For a while, I may avoid going to some of the places that and I frequented while I adjust to my new status. I probably won't go into any more detail about this decision, but suffice it to say it is the best for me at this time in my life. Thank you for your support and your prayers." A letter such as this is genuine, and it appears there is not too much trauma associated with the breakup. If it was traumatic, it would be helpful to mention that it was devastating and that you will cry and be upset from time to time. Let them know specifically what you need from them, and share the fact that you may be recovering for several months. Usually other people have a timetable for our recovery that is unrealistic, and their expectations need to be altered. There will still be very close friends and relatives that you will talk with and go into greater detail with. But not everyone needs this, and many people who are curious and/or concerned will be helped by your letter. It also protects you from having to share the situation several times a day. The recounting of it again and again can become exhausting and painful. The best time to break off a relationship. When is it best to break off a relationship? As soon as you know it's not going to work out. You need to listen to your heart, your thoughts, and the Lord's guidance. You need to trust yourself. Parts of the relationship may be positive, but are these strong enough to carry the rest of it? I've known some who know after the initial phone conversation, initial meeting, 3 months, or 3 years later. Once you know, then the time you wait is wasted, since it delays your recovery, and thus your development of a new relationship. You will waver back and forth and experience confusion. That's normal. There may be a relationship in which none of that occurs, and you know absolutely that this one is over and out. That, too, can be normal. Watch out for the immobilizing statements you may make that will keep you trapped. They include, "I just hate hurting another person. What will everyone think? What if they're really angry with me? I can't handle that. I don't know what to say or how to do it. It's just too difficult." Every time you make such a statement, you begin to believe it even more, and it becomes more difficult to take that necessary step. How to break off a relationship. Now the big question: how do you break off a relationship? How do you say no? Consider the following suggestions. 1. Decide whether you want to do this in person, over the phone, or in a letter. And whatever you do, if you are serious about not seeing this person again, don't be vague or give double messages or leave the door open. So if your decision comes during a first date or you keep running into the person at work, face-to-face may be the best. If it's long-term, sometimes the letter may be easier for you, since the person can't immediately respond, has to think about it, and can't pressure you to change your mind. They will want and need to talk to you at some time, however. Whatever you do, don't let them hear it from someone else. 2. Be gracious and polite. You could share something positive at the same time you let them know you would prefer not going out with them again. Statements like, "Thank you, but I would rather not," work well. However, if you add the phrase, "right now," or "at this time," they will think your resistance is just temporary and you'll be back. Don't say, I'll get back to you, or call me later, if you want this fledgling or long-term relationship to be over. But make it genuine. You may just want to say, thank you for the time you've invested, but I'm just not interested in pursuing the relationship any further. You don't have to give them a list of your reasons if they pressure you to know why you don't want to continue. Just use the broken record technique and continue to repeat your statement word for word as you initially stated it. Especially in initial dates or short-term relationships, you are not obligated to give your reasons. All it does is give the other person control or power over you, and now they can begin to attack your reasons. If it's been a long-term relationship, sharing the reasons may be helpful for personal growth. Be sure to say that your reasons are how you feel and it's from your perspective. Don't expect the other person to agree with you. They may become defensive and try to talk you out of your perspective as well as your decision. You may need to add that you do not want to argue the case or defend it, and you have already made your decision. Sometimes it helps to acknowledge their feelings and say that you could well understand they could be surprised, hurt, or angry. But keep in mind that no matter how they respond, they are responsible for it. Don't take the responsibility on yourself and carry a load of blame or try to make them feel better. If there are any items for you to return, it's best to do so at this time. If things need to be moved, do this as soon as possible. If your partner has been untrustworthy to you, such as lying about who they are, their work or financial status, their Christian beliefs, or if they sexually harassed you, took and used money, or were unfaithful to you, they need to be confronted. I've seen too many situations in which the person was let off the hook with no confrontation. They were never exposed for what they were. They need to experience the natural consequences and discomfort of their sinful behavior, so either they experience conviction and come to genuine repentance or so others don't fall prey to their pattern of destructive behaviors. I've seen cases in singles fellowship groups in churches, because of a pattern of non-Christian behaviors such as misappropriation of the partners or resources, continual sexual misbehavior, or date rape that the offender has been asked to leave the group. And it doesn't take long for the word to spread as to the reasons. I've seen some cases where because of the volatile and unpredictable behavior on the part of the person on the receiving end of the breakup, a pastor or a couple of close friends were asked to be present when the person shared that the relationship was over. This was done for safety reasons. Unfortunately, there are those who don't take no for an answer. They may have an obsession with you, be addicted to having a relationship, or are just so hurt and angry they may want to make life miserable for you. In any case, your safety, welfare, peace of mind, and future are at stake. If you need to be very emphatic and assertive, plan in advance what you think you will need to say and practice malting these statements out loud if you know this will be difficult for you. You cannot be subtle or appear uncertain, especially if the other person doesn't want to hear what you're saying or is resistant to the whole idea. Don't let the other person back you into a corner or get you in a defensive position. You could use statements like the following: I understand this is upsetting, but our times together are over. This is not something I want to discuss, since it's not negotiable. If they persist in calling at home or work, I'm going to hang up now. It won't help either of us to continue to talk, and if you call again, I will hang up. Please don't contact me in any way. It's just better that we go our separate ways. What you're doing feels like harassment, and if you continue, I will obtain a restraining order so we can both go on with our lives. Sometimes the reluctant partner believes they know your thoughts and feelings better than you, so whatever you say may not register. The more information you give, the more you build their hope that you are not serious. Remember that. It's true. The more you explain, the more you encourage them to persist. Sometimes people have said, it seems cruel to have to be this way or to break up like this. That's not true. This is fair and loving. What is cruel is hanging on and prolonging a going nowhere relationship when you know it's over. You may need to take some further steps to get the message through. This may include such drastic steps as screening all calls with an answering machine, changing your phone listing to an unlisted number, telling mutual friends to alert you if your former partner is coming to an activity, or suggesting that you not be asked to an event if the other person is coming.